702. Let's walk the talk.
Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
13 minutes after 10 o'clock, somebody sends me a message on the WhatsApp line. He says, what a load of woo. And this person was able to stay for a whole hour, listen to a whole lot of woo. What a wow. Anyway, it is what it is. Stanley Beckett, author and consultant of Change Creator, is coming yet with another fascinating topic. he says it's time to do a rain dance on your goals and go live where your goals are and to move away from where they are not, says Stanley Beckett, and he joins us now. Stanley, good evening to you. Are you well?
Good evening, Aubrey. Yes, I'm well.
I'm excited. I'm excited for tonight's conversation. As I came into the studios this evening, it started to rain. I mean, it was like almost like a terrestrial. What do you call it? Torrential storm? How do you say it? It was a storm. It was beautiful to watch, and it made me feel like, wow, perhaps we are stepping into a new era. New things are going to start to happen. The old is going to pass away and the new things are coming through. And I hope that this conversation is going to be part of those new things that I'm praying for on a daily basis. You say here it's time to rain dance, or to do a rain dance on your goals and go live where your goals are and to move away from where they are not. Sounds very cryptic, sounds very symbolic, sounds very philosophical. What's this all about, Stanley?
Now, can I just say up front, Aubrey, the fact that we have our first rains tonight and we're having this conversation had nothing to do with each other. I just think it's very ironic that it both happened at the same time. So I'm sitting here outside listening to the rain and having this conversation. And I think, let me first start from the beginning and say, just remind our listeners what we've been speaking about the last few weeks is the whole concept and the whole idea on faith and how to build faith and how important faith was. And this also fits in very nicely with that, but it's also something separate. And it was a story I was told over the past week, and I just thought, what a wonderful story and what a wonderful way to look at how we look at our goals. And if you remember, Aubrey, I've said often in the last few months that one of the big challenges with people wanting to create change in their lives, because that's really what we're about. If we want something to be different, we've got to create that change, is that they get pieces of the puzzle, but they don't get all the pieces, and we don't often see it all. So I think what we attempt to do in this show also is to put the pieces that people might not often think of, and hopefully that can complete something for someone that said maybe that was the missing piece that had been missing all along. And I think tonight's conversation is going to lead us down a track for many people, down that track. So let me start and tell you where it comes from. There's three gentleman that's known quite well known around the world. They refer to as the three amigos, and one of them we speak about quite often on the show is a guy, doctor by the name of Dr. Joe Dispenza, and the other two guys are also well known. One of them is known, a man by the name of Greg Braden.
Yeah.
And then there's another doctor by the name of Dr. Bruce Lipton, who's a cellular biologist. And they're known as the Three Amigos, and they do a lot of talks around the world together. Now, they told an interesting story that forms the foundation of what we're talking about tonight. They went to go and visit an old traditional Indian Hopi village in the U.S., where they still live like the Indians did back in the day, before modern civilization, and they still do things the same way the Indians did then. And they were talking to the Indian chief, and they were really excited this evening because they were invited to come and witness a rain dance from the Indian chief. And they were sitting there, and what they were expecting is probably what most of us will expect when we think about seeing a rain dance, because we often look at movies and think that movies are the portrayal of real life, when they're not necessarily are. And in this instance, if you think of a rain dance, if you had to think of a rain dance, you'd probably think of someone jumping up and doing these funny moves and making these funny noises and things, you know, and because that's the way it gets portrayed. And this is what they said that they were expecting.
Mm.
And then they said that it was actually quite different from what they were expecting. And as I explained it, they said, first of all, this Indian chief sat down and he was in a sort of a meditation for about 20 minutes. And they all sat silently watching him, and he was in this meditation for about 20 minutes. And then he got up and he started making movements. And I can't show you the movements now, but it was like really different from what they were thinking. And they were thinking, this is different from a dance, and this is different. There wasn't music, and there wasn't all the strange noises and all these dance moves, but interesting way he was moving. And then after a while, when he was finished, they were sitting talking again, and then Joe Dispenza said, he asked him, and he said to him, can you explain to me that rain dance that you did? It wasn't what I was expecting. It didn't look like much of a dance. What was going on? And then the Indian chief said to him, what he actually did is he went into a meditative space. So why he did that? And I can explain now a little bit more why they did it. He didn't say it at that time, but that's what Joe Dispenza's understanding about meditation is. You remember we talked about getting out of those beta brainwaves,
yes.
those alert, stressed brainwaves. From the time we wake up, most people are either in a low beta state, a medium, or a high beta state, depending on how stressed you are. What he did through that meditation is he started calming these brainwaves down. And then he went into sort of the operating system. He went into the alpha brain state, the theta brain state, which is actually what we all do every day of our lives. When we get into bed and we start getting tired and we start shutting down, that's exactly what we're doing with our brainwaves. We're going from beta through to, down to theta, alpha, theta, and eventually down to delta, which is deep sleep. And then the Indian chief said, when he was in that state, what he did up is he stood up, and in his mind's eye, he actually saw himself standing in the rain. He felt the rain falling on him. He heard the sound of the rain. He smelt the sound. And the actions he was making was what he would do if it was raining. Sort of, giving and we'll talk now about thankfulness and gratitude. But he was giving thanks for this rain, and he was giving thanks for the blessing it was giving to them. So what he was saying,
By the way, Stan, let me quickly just interrupt you, and my apologies for saying this to you. We had a conversation a couple of months ago with somebody who was speaking about the people that we know as the Valoveru people. The Valoveru people are the people it's an ethnic group here in South Africa that is associated with the idea of the rain queen. You've heard that?
Yeah.
And it's interesting that as you speak that, he said something similar to the story of what is known as the rain dance. You know, they speak of the idea that the queen is a rainmaker. And he spoke similar things to the idea that it is a process where it is the deep, faithful expectation of rain. It's not the making of rain. It's the deep, faithful expectation of rain. And what that does, according to the conversation we had, is that it sets out a whole series of even biological events that could then be understood to be the rainmaking process. But it's very interesting how similar what you're saying now is to what we've been hearing from the Valoveru people up in the Limpopo province. But go ahead, Stanley. I just thought it was an incidental thing that is quite interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I like that similarity, because maybe there's something for us all to learn out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping to give to our listeners tonight, what the insight here was for me, that wow, big moment. And so I know I've been saying the same thing for a long time, but having a story like this really makes it hit home a lot more. And what this Indian chief then said to them, Aubrey, he said, when he calls the white man, but the white man, what he means by that is us Westerners, you know, that have now, like, you know, like the Indian, I think those, they find
I know exactly what he means by the white man. Yeah.
The way we think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what he was saying is that he finds what they as a village find strange is the way that we pray. He says, because when we pray, and I was thinking about this, how true this is, when we pray, where are we in most instances, not all instances, but in most instances when we are praying? We're praying from a space of lack. We're praying from a space of not having. We're praying from a space of wanting. In other words, when we're praying and we're putting ourselves in that mind, we're putting ourselves in a place where the thing we want doesn't exist. The want for that thing exists, right? So we're always going to want it, and we're always going to pray, and we're always going to and beg and plead and say, please, can I just have this in my life? And it never seems to come because we're not putting ourselves where the goal is. We're putting ourselves where the goal is not. And this is what the chief was saying. He says when he does his rain dance, right, he says he then goes and puts himself where the goal is. He puts himself in his mind where the rain is. He doesn't put himself in his mind where it's not. He doesn't put himself in a space of lack, of, as I just explained.
Right.
Almost like asking, please, because he says when you're in that space, nothing can grow in that space because your goal isn't there. He says we need to start taking ourselves away from where the goal is not, and we need to put ourselves where the goal is. In other words, we need to put ourselves in that rain. We need to feel the rain falling on us. We need to hear that rain. We need to smell that rain. And in the same way, and that's what tonight's conversation is about, we need to do the same thing with our goals. And my question tonight to the listeners are, when you're thinking about your goals, when you're thinking whether that goal for you is I want a job, whether that goal is I want to be financially stable, I'm tired of struggling financially, whether it is I want a relationship with someone who can fulfill me and who I can love, whether it is building a new business, whether it is having things change in this country for me, for you, for our children, whatever that is, tonight's question is, when you want those things, when you are focusing on that goal, where are you? Are you putting yourself where that goal is not? Or are you putting yourself where that goal is? Because if you keep putting yourself where the goal is not, you're going to spend the rest of your life always wishing for that thing and never getting it. But if you can learn how to put yourself in that state where you can put yourself where that goal is, then that goal will start coming to you. Then the ideas will start coming to you because then you are vibrating with that goal. So I mean, I hope I'm starting to...
Oh, you're making a lot of sense. I'm just trying to find how I paraphrase what you've just said. Because, you know, my style, Stanley, is to see whether I'm on a par with you. I'm on the same sort of page as you are so that I can take my listeners along with us in this conversation. I had a conversation not too long ago with a gentleman by the name of Musa Khoza. He's a historian. He is a storyteller, tells many stories about the Zulu people. And in our conversation, he said something quite provocative that had a lot of people thinking for a long time, where he made a distinction between two Zulu words, which we sometimes use interchangeably without necessarily understanding the deeper meanings or the esoteric meanings of those words as explained to me by Musa Khoza. I hope he's listening because he listens to the show quite often. I hope he phones in. And he used the example of the word that we use in isiZulu that we say ukuthandaza. Ukuthandaza means to pray, right? And that is a sort of a nominal understanding of what to pray is versus the other Zulu word, which is ukukhuleka, which is also to pray, but it is a different meaning to ukuthandaza. To thandaza is almost to beg for something that isn't there and you almost beg for it. To khuleka, as he explained it, is to salute in thanksgiving the Creator for something that already exists but is not yet manifested. So he says that many times because of our spiritual dwarfism, we don't reach the levels of ukukhuleka, that is to pray with expectation, because we understand that that which we are praying for already exists. Right? Versus asking for something that doesn't exist. Asking for something that doesn't exist, he explains, is to tandaza, to pray with expectation, not with the understanding that something already exists. Whereas to kulega is to salute, is to salute in thanksgiving for something that already exists. It exists in reality. It exists in your desires. And all you're doing by kuleging is to bring it into this plane, the plane of the three dimensions where we are right now. And so what I'm hearing about what you're saying about the Native American chief and the conversation that you had with the three amigos is that there are different ways by which we have a relationship with reality. It's either we can speak from a position of lack or from a position of abundance. The position of abundance is the position where we know that that thing exists, but it just hasn't been manifested yet. And so we need to move to the place of manifestation versus to simply hope very fervently for something where you are not even sure that that thing really exists. But you hope very, very fervently, and so you tandaza for it, for that thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's exactly. It will be, you know, I actually want to pose a second question also, if I may, to the listeners that are thinking and listening to this. When you pray, when you pray for what you want, where are you coming from when you're making that prayer? You know, I would say, Aubrey, that most people, when they pray, come from a place of lack. Come from a place of almost begging. And I'm thinking, is that really what the creator of this whole universe wants us to do, is to beg for things that we want? I don't believe it, and that's just not my belief. But yet, that seems to be where a majority of people have learned to keep asking and begging and praying and hoping that something will change, and it never does. Then you get a second group of people that pray from a place of thanksgiving. Okay, and now, let me tell you, remember we were speaking about going to where your goal is and not being where your goal is not. When you are praying from a place of want, of lack, of begging, you are praying and you are taking yourself to a place where your goal is not. So you won't find any results there. And I don't know how else to explain it other than this is a universal law. This is the way it works. Like gravity, this is the way it works. We can question it. We can be angry with it. We can do whatever we want. It's still going to work whether we like it or not. Same as gravity. You can jump off of a roof and you can say, I don't believe in gravity. I think...
Go jump off a building and see whether gravity believes in you or not.
Yeah. You're still going to fall, right? Well, the same way, yeah. If you are praying... If you're praying from a place of begging, you're not where your goal is. And I'm going to say something else that people probably won't expect me to say. But if you are praying from a place of giving thanks, you're still not where your goal is.
Yeah.
Because thanks is giving thanks for something that you already have, for something that happened in the past. You give thanks. That's like, for example, Thanksgiving is the month of October is Thanksgiving. What is Thanksgiving all about? It's about giving thanks for what you already have.
Yep.
Your goal is not where you already have it. Otherwise, you wouldn't want it, right? So in other words, in your prayer, there has to also be, whether it's prayer, whether it's meditation, whatever it is you do, there has to be a healthy balance of giving thanks and giving and being grateful.
Yeah.
Because where thanks is giving thanks for something in the past, gratitude is giving thanks for something in the future.
Yeah.
So my question is, when people are praying, when they meditate, when they're thinking, when they're setting their goals, where are they going in their mind? Do they understand, and do you understand how to go past that thinking, rational mind that's keeping you away from everything, that's keeping you stuck where you are? Or do you understand how to go into that subconscious part? In other words, the same way that Chief did. He first went into that part of himself. because that part is the connection to everything else. That part is the energy connection to everything that is. And when you're in there, in what space are you in there? And the right space, so if you want to know, is a combination of thankfulness and gratitude. So in other words, you're already giving thanks. The same way, let's say somebody gave you R1 million a week ago. I mean, you would be the most thankful person in the world, right?
Yeah.
You would say thank you how many times over? Well, can you say the same level of thanks for things that you believe is to come, even though there's no evidence of it yet? And that is exactly what this chief was speaking about. He says we need to take ourselves to that space. And when we're in that space, where the goal is, then we can start taking the goal from that space and bringing it from the spiritual into the physical.
Are you
actually have to go and fetch.
Are you feeling like somebody's probably looking at this, looking at their radio right now and going, okay, here we go. These guys are really getting off the off the deep end now. This is like some serious hocus pocus that Stanley and Aubrey are talking about. Are you getting that sense? I'm getting that sense. I'm getting the sense that somebody's like going, uh-oh. It looks like these guys are going crazy. Here's why I'm saying this. I think that the reason why most of what we desire we don't get is because we don't understand the inner workings, the inner technicalities of attitude, of approach, of just mindset, architecture, if I can put it that way. And this conversation is giving us the architecture of what happens in the back room of our minds when we start a particular venture with the hope or the faith that it'll actually manifest. Because if that stuff isn't the right way around, we will do things with the most sincerest of intents and not understand why stuff is not happening. But there is a very clear architecture that needs to be followed. In other words, if you're making a cake, you've got to have all of the ingredients, but then there is an order with which you need to put the eggs in and then the flour in and then in order to create the right dough and then put it into the oven. So for a particular amount of time under a particular heat, if you don't do those things in the right order, you will not understand that while you have all of the ingredients, you're not producing a cake. And that's because we don't understand the architecture of the back room of the stuff that is happening in the background that then makes the stuff actually work. Does that make sense, Stanley?
Yeah, and absolutely. It'll be like putting all the perfect ingredients into the pan, putting it in the oven, but then forgetting the step of actually switching the oven on and then wondering why it never turns into cake. At that one crucial ingredient or that one crucial step that's missing could frustrate you for the rest of your life. You could be saying, but I'm doing everything everybody's telling me to do. I'm doing my affirmations every day. I'm building these beautiful goal cards, and I'm reading every day, and I'm reading these books, and I'm going on, but nothing seems to be changing. And it could be because that one step, and this could be a crucial step, and I heard what you said earlier, and absolutely, if somebody is sitting there and thinking, no, man, this is hocus pocus, I challenge them. Come on in, let's talk about it. But the fact of the matter is, whenever it's something that we're not used to, we always label it firstly as hocus pocus and rubbish because we're not used to it. It's unfamiliar to us. And what are we saying and what we're talking about tonight as well, it's so crucial that I also say this, Aubrey. It's not just anymore just coming from somebody who's saying we just have to believe. Science is proving what we're talking about. Science is, that's what the work of this Dr. Joe Dispenza, of Dr. Bruce Lipton, they are dedicating their lives to being able to research what we're talking about in ways that we could never be able to do before, because we never had the ways and the means to do it. But science is proving what we're saying. So it's not even like it's just something that one person is saying. All the different science are starting to prove to the power of the conscious subconscious on how we connect to something we can only begin to understand. But we need to, and second thing, you know, I have a mentor, Bob Proctor, also said to me once, I was talking to him, and he said to us as a group, when he was also talking about a concept that was similar to this, and he said, you know what, if your way doesn't work, try my way for a while. You know, and just just take all that you think you know away for a moment and just listen to what we have to say and try it. And what tonight is saying, and it really shouldn't be that strange for people to grasp what we're saying. We're saying that when you're focusing on your goal, when you're focusing on what you want, do not come from a space of lack. Do not come from a space of begging, because you will never get there. That does not produce the results you want. Come from a space of gratitude. Be where the goal is. Feel what it's like to have that goal already. And if you want, I think maybe in the next show, we'll talk about the scientific or the science part of this. But what happens when you do that is that you're starting to send a message to the subconscious part of your mind, which is where 96%, if not more, of your power lies. You're starting to send a signal to that, and your subconscious mind, if you do that in the right way, starts paying attention and then starts looking for a way for you to achieve it. But if the message that you're sending to the subconscious is one of lack and one of I'll never have this, then what the subconscious does is the other side. It starts going and looking for reasons why you'll never have it. In other words, it supports the instruction that you're giving to it.
I hear that. Let me invite our listeners to call in. In response to your challenge, Stanley Beckett, give us a call. What do you make of what Stanley is saying here? Yeah, that sometimes we sabotage ourselves by pretending we believe something when we only hope for it. Now, hope is nothing wrong with hope, but it sounds to me that Stanley's saying that when you masquerade hope as if it's faith, then you are committing spiritual fraud. 011-883-0702, and that's why you don't get what you are supposed to get. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. 021-446-0567. It appears, Stanley, that there are rules here, and that if understood, we can use them objectively. We don't have to religiousize them. We don't have to kill anything. We don't have to belong to any t-shirt. These are laws that are objectively available to anybody. One of my biggest challenges, and I said it in the first hour, was the challenge of actually believing that, yes, these things do exist, but they exist for me. See, that was the big quantum leap that I had to make. That I believed that these things exist. Sure, I associated with the idea that these are truths. But I discovered later that I had not made the connection that they are true also for me. I constantly made excuses for myself for why they cannot be for me. Because I looked at other people and said, yeah, but those people are there because they had more favorable circumstances than I. Or those people are able to exercise these truths because they are just more cleverer than I. Or they are just more gifted than I. Or they are just more taller than I, they are shorter than I. I hadn't come to the point where I had made the discovery that these objective truths that Stanley Beckett is speaking about this evening are available to Aubrey Masango too. In his present circumstances, in his history, in his future, they are available to him. All Aubrey needs to do is take them. The big issue, Stanley, is how do you take these laws and apply them to me?
Well, the first step is you need to become aware of them. And I think that that's what we're doing on this show, is we're making people aware of it. I mean, are you aware of the fact that these laws exist? Are you aware of the fact that there's a law that determines, like, for example, let me give you universal laws. I always talk about universal laws. They're like the laws that apply to all of us universally. Did you know there's, for example, there's a law called the law of sacrifice, which states that in order to gain something of a higher value, you first need to be willing to sacrifice something else of a lower value.
Yep.
If you don't know that law, when you have to do it, you're going to be stuck. There's another law that says everything has an equal opposite. So in other words, hot or cold, it's a law of polarity. Hot or cold, they can't be hot without cold. They can't be sweet without sour. In the same way, you cannot have a breakthrough in life. You cannot move ahead in life having a breakthrough without having a breakdown, because the two are equal, I mean, opposite sides of the same coin. So the law says there's polarity. So in life, we want to just go through breakthrough, 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 and just have wonderful things. That's not the way life works. You go through breakthrough, and then you go through a breakdown, and then you go through a breakthrough, and you go through that way through life. So that's just examples. These universal laws, they're applicable to us. So how do we use them? The very first step is we need to become aware of them. If we're not aware of them, then we won't be able to do anything. We won't be able to use them to our advantage. And to me, this topic tonight is I don't know if there's a name for the law, but it really should be a name for the law. And that says, and why I bring it back to the last few weeks, that if you are not asking for what you want from a place of real faith, from a place of real expectancy, then you are putting yourself where the goal is not. In order to put yourself where the goal is, so that you can bring that goal into your personal reality, you have to put yourself in that place through faith and through expectancy. And again, my question to the listeners tonight is, authentically, can you say, whenever you focus on your goals, whenever you pray, whenever you meditate, whenever you're thinking about what it is you want to achieve, from which space are you coming from? And if you're coming from the space where the goal is not, then that might be the big reason why you're stuck and why nothing ever seems to move ahead in your life.
So the first step is to be aware of these laws. Yeah. First step is to be aware of the fact that the place from which you are planning, the place from which you are conceiving these ideas, is it a place of fear and lack, or is it a place of genuine expectancy? You've got to know that that is the place from which you need to proceed, right? What's the second step, Stanley?
So there's a lot of steps to it, Aubrey. It's not something we'll be able to do just in one evening. But okay, the first step is to become aware. There's just so many, Aubrey. Let's focus tonight on the first step, because the other steps really they deserve their own time slots for now. So I would stick with this for tonight and ask the listeners to really answer this question for themselves and to really observe themselves and ask, when I'm asking, whether that asking is, as we've said, through prayer, whether it's through a meditation, whatever it might be, when I'm asking, can I authentically, where am I coming from? And now you will know. Can I quickly share another way of looking at this, Aubrey? I might have shared this before, but I think it might help our listeners to identify the answer to the question I've just asked. You are, let's say Aubrey now is driving, and it's a, I know you don't usually drive in the day because you're a night hunter, but let's say you were, and it's, and you know that middle of that morning traffic when it's bumper to bumper, and it's a hot summer's day, and you don't feel like going to work, you're frustrated, the boss is difficult, and you're sitting in the traffic and you're unhappy, awkward, ugly feeling that you get, you know, when you, and you're just frustrated with everything. Now, you're coming to the office, and then you find out that some rich old uncle you never knew existed died and left you money. And you decide, you know what I've always wanted to do? If I get money, I want to go on a world trip, and I want to travel around the world. So what you do is you go that afternoon, and you go buy yourself a ticket for you and the family to travel. You're leaving in 6 months' time, like around about February, March next year. You're leaving in 6 months' time, and you're going for a month trip around the world. All paid for, you've got your tickets. Now to the next morning, and you're driving in that same traffic, you've got that same difficult boss, you've got the same difficult circumstances, but guess what? You don't feel the same anymore. You're feeling happy, you're laughing at the traffic, you're laughing at your boss, you're laughing at everything. You feel great about life. Your circumstances haven't changed. You're still in the same traffic, the same business, the same everything, but you are looking into the future 6 months from now, and you have that faith, because you bought that ticket, that holiday is coming and nothing can get you down. If you can feel that same way that I've just described about your goals, then you know you are where your goals are at. But that is a good measuring stick for most people. When you think about your goals, how do you feel? Do you feel that same sort of excitement, like when you're thinking about it, as if you already have a goal, you've got that ticket, you know it's just a matter of time that goal's coming? Or do you feel, you know, you feel depressed almost when you ask, thinking about your goals, because it feels like it's never going to happen. It's never going to come to you. So that's a good way of measuring. Where are you coming from when you're asking? Do you feel like you've already bought that ticket? In other words, do you have that faith? Do you have that expectation when you're asking or when you're focusing on it? Or do you feel that sense of lack, and that you look at the goal and you go, oh, you feel actually depressed thinking about it because it feels like it's never going to come? So that's a good way of measuring. Are you where the goal is, or are you where the goal is not?
Evening, Aubrey and Stanley. Today's discussion is so true. Coming from corporate, I eventually became so fatigued and had burnout. I kept going, taking Red Bull daily. Ooh, I know that story. Eventually, I couldn't take it anymore. I resigned. I had to do self-introspection. What is it that I'm chasing and being so busy with? I just needed to be still. My daily affirmation is, God is giving strength and quiet energy repeatedly. I've never taken an energy drink up until now. I feel better and in a much bigger place. Sending you all blessings. This person doesn't give us their name. I know the story of the Red Bull. I know the story. Stuff will eat you up, bro. Stuff will eat you up. This person says, hi, Clement. I am 36-year-old mother to almost 5-year-old toddler and 4-week-old baby, both boys. Would it be possible to get a child therapist on the show to have a chat about sex, sexuality, and topics of that nature? I need to find a way of discussing. Oh, okay. I think this is something completely different. Definitely not for me. For Clement, I see. All right. Do you want to give me these two voice notes, please? If we can just get those two voice notes, Chris. I'd like to take a call from you. Is any of what is being said here making sense to you? I'd really like to get some feedback from you as you listen to what Stanley has been saying today, to say, have you been aware of your state of mind, your inner state of being when you are scheming, when you are planning, when you are meditating, when you are praying for something? Have you noticed where you are coming from? Are you coming from a place of fear and lack? Some people call it the imposter syndrome, I think, Stanley. That you know that you are not worthy of that stuff, but you're just hoping anyway. Or are you at a place in your inner self where you know that what you are actually praying for, thinking about, planning for, whatever the activity is, yeah, that inner activity is actually there waiting for you. And all you're doing is really finding the ways by which you can get to that. Does that make sense to you? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that on 011-883-0702 as I speak to Stanley Beckett, author and consultant at Change Creator. Stanley, this stuff, I think, is the stuff it's the stuff. I remember I had a guest on the show maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. Renata Stierman. She's one of South Africa's best actresses. And she said, listen, I listened to your conversations with Stanley. And then she used her hands. You know how you use the sign for money? You know, when you rub your fingers together to but upside down, not the in the way that you use the sign for money. She says, you guys speak about that stuff. And for the first time in a very, very long time, I feel like we've come to that very, very critical place. The place where the nanotechnology is actually functioning. I mean, the deep, deep, deep technology of what goes on behind the scenes, the way that we think about stuff, the attitudes that we need to have in order to start planning effectively for the goals that we set. And I'm hoping that our listeners can join us in this conversation. I see a call coming through now. And Tateng, if you can please take it for me. I hope that our listeners can join us in this conversation, because I think these are the critical things. These are the stuff that change reality. I want to also say, Stanley, that you said something about being aware. Can I add, but being aware of them for you? You see, because I keep wanting to say, I've always been sort of aware of some of the things that you're saying. The one component that didn't exist, at least for me, the one component that didn't change my life from the Red Bull life to just being drunk on life, right, is understanding that it is for me too. I am a candidate for the promises of that background architecture, if I can put it. Would it be okay to add that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as you said there, Aubrey, and it's so good you said, because how many people think exactly that the good things in life are not for me? And you know what, because we have this thinking that some people are just lucky or some people are just given things that we're not, I'm saying now today that the people who are out there that are making things happen are the ones that are going and fetching what they want. They're demanding what they want. They are going where their goal is, and they're fetching it. And we can all do that same thing. There's no reason why anybody should have more than anybody else. And that's why Wallace Wattles says in his book, and I bring it up often, but it's just such an important thing. He says becoming successful, becoming wealthy, being happy, all these things in life, it's not the result of doing certain things. It's the result of doing things in a certain way. And I think we need to be having more real conversations about these things. We shouldn't be sugarcoating it anymore. We should be telling people, this is how it works. And if you want your life to change, this is what you're going to need to do. And you should be grateful that this is coming. You shouldn't be threatened by it. You shouldn't be scared of hearing it. You should actually be embracing it and saying, maybe that is the missing link. Maybe I've never been taught how to build faith, because this is what we started speaking about 3 weeks ago. How do you develop faith? And what is faith really? And faith is putting yourself there where the thing is. And yes, if it sounds a little bit strange to you, that's probably because that's probably why you're stuck, if you are stuck, because these things you haven't been told yet. And that's why I'm just so grateful for those conversations that we have, because so many of our listeners will hopefully start will planting that seed to think differently about these things.
Can I tell you why I think, and this is just an aside, I'll probably get into trouble for it, but you know, after a couple of lashes, they all become the same after some time. But I'll tell you this. I think that the reason why these kinds of topics have been sort of taboo and people always run away from them because, you know, I think they've been for the longest of time the preserve of the religious world. The conversation around faith, the conversation around hope, and all of those species of attributes have been the illegal preserve of the religious world. Just like the political world has appointed itself the owners of conversations of justice, right? The religious world has appointed itself as the owners of conversations about the spiritual. And because we are taking these conversations out of the spiritual context, it's always spiritual. But because we are taking it out of the religious context, we know that those that understand these things, who have been in that religious world, are going to start getting nervous. Because we're starting to pierce their gig here. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but
So what I'm trying to say is that's probably why these issues have not come into the mainstream discussion. Because for the longest time, they've been the preserve of the religious world. I want to take a quick call from Luna in Soweto. Hi, Luna.
Hello.
Hi, Luna. Go ahead.
Yes. I think listening to this show has given me hope and faith at the same time, because I've been praying for something, and I've been praying out of hope and depression, negativity. I haven't been having enough faith that I will get that what I'm praying for.
Wow.
I've not been believing. I've been saying, ah, maybe it will come, maybe it won't, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my. Stanley, let's get Mfundi Stanley to help us here. Stan?
Yeah, I just want to say to Lena and to everybody else, you can make a decision from tonight to start praying differently. When you pray from tonight, just give thanks, just give gratitude as if you already have the thing that you want, and see how different your prayer will be. Just say thank you. Just say an absolute gratitude for all, and then explain it. Explain why you're happy to have it. Explain how your life has changed. Explain what it has done for you. And I'm telling Lena now, she'll be the one phoning us in a month's time from today, telling us how this thing has started coming towards her. And I hope that all our listeners can do too. And that's what I want you to take out of the conversation tonight, is pray from a place of gratitude, not only from a place of lack and thankful, but also add gratitude, and then you will see things will start to change.
Luna in Soweto, good luck to you, yeah?
All right,
Luna in Soweto. And it's amazing how the fear sometimes can keep us down. Stanley, listen, we've run out of time, my brother, and I'm looking forward to next week's conversation. Man, you're going deep, bruh. Look, Martin Coleman says, damn it, Aubrey, you are breaking berries tonight. Oh, God. Preach on, brother. Preach on. The cobwebs are falling away. Stanley Beckett, thank you very much for your courage, my brother. Thank you very much for saying what needs to be said when it needs to be said, and giving us the opportunity to think hard about where we find ourselves. How do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I'm going to say any person that wants to go further, we've got a Monday night group that's growing, and it's wonderful how it's growing, where we talk about these topics every Monday night with our 702 listeners. If you want to be a part of that, just go to changecreatorsa.com. So the website is not changecreator.com, but changecreatorsa.com. And then you'll see at the bottom, you can leave your name, leave a message, then I'll reply back to you, and you'll get a free copy of the book, Lift Off. And come and join our community as we start growing more and more every week, as people start growing and learning these things.
Thank you.
And we look forward to meeting everybody. Thank you, Aubrey.
Stanley Beckett, author and consultant at Change Creator.